Well, something happened this morning that hasn't happened in 31 years of ministry. Sitting in Sunday school, I decided to just pull out my notes, make sure I had the right ones in there. And I turned it over and realized I had page one twice. So you were only going to get half a sermon. And we corrected that. So we're all set. Don't worry. Matthew chapter 12. Give your attention as we read the first 13 verses. This is the word of the living God, Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry. And they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" that they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Just that far in the word this morning. May that word of God be in us living stream of living water. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we have done various things in our worship this morning. We've sung, we've prayed, we've read, we've given. Now, Father, we would hear. And hearing by the word of God, faith would be generated, built up, encouraged. O Lord, may it be so. May you bless the one who speaks and those who hear, that we might glorify and honor you. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, if you had a perfect list of do's and don'ts, do this, don't do that, would it be enough to make you do the right thing? If I handed you a list of do these 7 things on the Lord's Day and don't do anything else, would that fix the problem that sometimes exists in the way people deal with the Lord's Day? The Lord God, maker of mankind, gave Adam and Eve a list with one thing on that list: don't eat from this tree. If you want a corollary, the do list was eat anything else that you want from all the other trees. One don't. How'd that go? On Mount Sinai, God etched into stone 10 commandments, the do's and the don'ts of the moral law that God requires of us. Well, down below, the people of God, delivered from bondage, having seen the Red Sea, saw their enemy drowned, they were already doing things their own way. Here comes the Ten Commandments. God is, and God has spoken. It sounds like if we did what God says, the way God says to do it, things would go well for us. But when it comes to the Sabbath, the seventh day, or is it the first day? Sunday, the Lord's Day. Is there an Old Testament, New Testament divide? Should we keep it, change it, ignore it? The Pharisees had added a long list of extra items, traditional requirements that made the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, confusing and a burden to the people of God. Christians have opinions, convictions that vary from one church to another. They have different do's and don'ts on their list. What is a Christian in today's church to do? Is there a Christian Sabbath? And how do we remember and keep it holy? Verses 8 and 12. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, and it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So we want to think this morning about the needs of the day and the work of the day, the mercy of the day, and the ruler of the day. What are the needs? Verses 3 and 4, the Lord begins to answer their objection. Have you not read what David did? He ate the showbread, which was not lawful. Jesus has called these disciples to follow him, and they have been doing so. They left paying jobs, careers that were providing for them. And for 3 years, they follow him. And during that time, there were places and journeys that they made where they get hungry. Old Testament law was that you could go into somebody else's field and take what you needed to eat by hand, and that wasn't a violation of the law. Long as you didn't, the Old Testament there in Leviticus, long as you don't put in a scythe, in other words, long as you don't harvest the farmer's field, if you went into the orchard because you were starving and you picked 6 or 7 apples to feed you and whatever, that's not a violation of the law. The Pharisees were watching, and they confront Jesus with this charge. Your followers are breaking God's law. And what is his response? It's just brilliant, isn't it? Have you, Pharisees, experts in the law, have you not read? You're supposed to be these Old Testament experts who ought to know better. What that illustration he gives is that ceremonial restrictions can be ignored in case of necessity. In other words, real needs Do not take a Sabbath, even in the temple of God. Showbread, literally, in when you translate the Hebrew, it's the bread of the presence. What was the showbread? In the tabernacle, on a table before the entrance to the Holy of Holies, there were 12 loaves. They were put there to represent the 12 tribes of God. It was a sign of the covenant connection the people had with God. Every Sabbath, the showbread would be replaced, and the old loaves were eaten by the priests. 12-day-old bread that's sitting on a table. I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible tells us they did. They ate that showbread. Now, David was in trouble. He was running, fighting. His men with him. His men were hungry. And they went into the tabernacle, and they took the showbread to eat. And what Jesus says is, this was not a sin, because there is a higher law. And that higher law is regular human life. If Sabbath work cannot be done at all, in any form, under any circumstance, then it would be a very hungry day. It would be a day where we just sat around and did nothing, and even to feed ourselves. There are needs of the day that are required. He mentions also in verse 5, the work of the day. Have you not read in the law that the Sabbath, the priests are working? Worship work does not break the law of God. The priests, the high priests, were involved in a great work. They were killing the sacrifice, roasting the sacrifice, sprinkling the blood, various parts of the altar and all. They were eating the leftovers. They were blessing the people. It was a lot of work. There are needs of the day. There's work to be done. I had a dear friend in former church that almost every Sunday, somewhere during that day, either at the back of the church or at fellowship lunch, almost every Sunday, he found a way to say, well, you only work one day a week. And he was kidding, and he knew but there's a lot of people that think, oh, you work on Sunday. I actually don't work on Sunday. It's tiring to be in this position and preach twice and all the rest that goes with it, but it's not work. The work gets done by Saturday morning. This is part of the worship. But some people might look at it and think it was work. Well, that's the same as the priests. And Jesus is saying, look at all the work they're doing. They're not breaking the Sabbath. There are needs of this day. You have a dog. Dog needs to be walked, doesn't it? You have a baby. Almost, Laisha. Needs to be fed and changed. Is it snowing? Well, somebody has to shovel. Are there meals that need to be made? Yes, of course. Let me tell you something about fellowship lunch. I am grateful for all the many hands that set it up, take it down, clean the tables, take out the trash, pack up the to-go boxes. Aren't you? That's work. When your mom is cooking for the family, she's working. That's not a breaking of the Sabbath. There are pressing needs that have to be met on the Lord's Day, and it is no violation of the law to do those things. There is a higher law of all things being done decently and in order to make worship possible. And whatever that is might be a kind of work, but it's not breaking the Sabbath. Preaching and administering the sacraments is a kind of work, but again, it's not a violation. Brothers and sisters, there are some Reformed Christians who argue that this Sabbath is an Old Testament tradition that ought not to be kept in the New Testament under the New Covenant. In fact, the argument goes so far that there are people who are arguing that the Ten Commandments have been edited down to 9. Listen, Jesus did not abolish the fourth commandment. He did not abolish the Sabbath. He did not. But he did free it from all the man-made additions. He left the fourth commandment right where he found it, in the eternal law of God. Your elders have never had a discussion about whether we should keep the Sabbath, whether there's a real Sabbath, a Christian Sabbath. And I believe that your elders would defend that position. At Presbytery level and in a congregational level. This is a day that has changed. Yes, it's changed from the first day of the week. I think there's good biblical reason for that. Why? Because the Pharisees had so entrapped the day. And God makes such a change that on the first day of the week, when Christ rose from the dead, the Christian church from almost that first week forever worshipped on the first day of the week. Yes, there are works of necessity and worship that are part of a proper Sabbath observance. So too are works of mercy. There is mercy of the day, verses 7 and 12. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And then in verse 12 he says, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. When Jesus goes into the synagogue, there's a perfect example right there. Verses 9 and 10. Behold, a man in pain and suffering. He was there. The Pharisees see it too. Maybe they saw Jesus look at him. Notice him. So they take it as a test. Hey, Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Are they looking for a theological education? No. That they might accuse him. Their idea is, if he heals this guy, we got him. Isn't it interesting that on the Sabbath, they're trying to catch him in some kind of a violation, that on the Sabbath, the Pharisees are there with wicked hearts? Is it possible to come to church with a wicked heart? It is. I can't believe he's wearing that again. Those are the kind of things that disrupt our fellowship, our worship, our communion with each other. We get so distracted by the things of the world, and here they are trying to catch Jesus. And Jesus calls out their hypocrisy when it comes to their own livestock. He has said, hey, any of you who have an animal that's in distress on the Sabbath, you would help that animal. How much more value does a man have than a sheep? Showing mercy is always right, especially to human beings made in the image of God. But Jesus goes further. Verse 13, he says, stretch out your hand. I spent a lot of time thinking, what did that sound like? What was his tone? One passage, I don't know if it's referring to the same instance, he looked around at them with anger. I wonder if he looked at all of them almost as if to shake his head and then says to the man, stretch out your hand. Jesus doesn't touch him, doesn't say anything else, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Wonder how long that man's hand was withered. How much of a burden it was. And there he is. He just stretches it out and it's just as normal as his other hand. He does this astounding miracle. But does this astounding instant miracle answer their objections about the Sabbath? No, it does not, does it? Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. They weren't looking for answers. They have hard hearts that need breaking. Why? Because there's a Roman government. These Pharisees are restricted by Roman law. They can't have this man arrested and crucified. There are witnesses all around that saw the man's hand healed instantly. So what do? They take counsel. They conspire to destroy him. Over what? Well, over this question of the Sabbath. I had a young lady in my first church whose mom was a nurse. And when we talked about the Sabbath, this young lady asked me, she was 11, 10 or 11, is my mom breaking the Sabbath by working on Sunday? My question to her was, do you think we should close the hospitals on Saturday and reopen them on Monday? And she said, well, no, we can't do that. And I said, there's your answer. There are lots of people in our society today who are working on Sunday, necessary jobs for all the rest of us to enjoy the rest on the Lord's Day. If the power goes out on Sunday, you want a lineman out there fixing the line. There are certain things that happen in a big city that don't stop on Sunday. So can a Christian drive the T on Sunday? My short answer is yes. There are sick and elderly and shut-ins, and any kind of work that's done on Sunday for their care is lawful on the Sabbath. That's what the Lord says. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So there, we've solved all the Sabbath problems that everybody ever has about what you can do or not do. No, but there is this other thing here that's pretty important. verse 8, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. I say to you, one that is greater than the temple, is standing right before you. I remind you who the religious leaders are arguing with. They're arguing with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the church is nothing without its head. Jesus is the head, the only head of the church. He created the church. The church is His body. He is the life of the church. No pastor, no program, no ministry. He is the life. He is our righteousness. And everything the church does or ought to do flows from being connected to Jesus Christ. He is greater than the temple because He is God. And He is more glorious than any building. Colossians 2:9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you have seen Jesus, He says that to His disciples. If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. He is the evidence of God in the flesh. He is our substitute. He is our advocate. He is the Lamb of God. He is greater than any institution or any edifice or any creed or any theology. And He ought to be reverenced, that is, feared in the right way. He ought to be honored. The best way that you can honor Christ is obey Him. He ought to be sought out by all who believes. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus, the one who is greater than this building, than all your traditions, the one who's greater, if Jesus is all this, well then how careful should we be with His instructions, His laws, His rules, His expectations? How much more should we value Christ than our religious or theological positions, commitments, convictions, especially about questionable issues? It's much more important that you go to Jesus Christ in faith than that you follow any denomination or theological argument or position. Pastor we all know and love says the main things are the plain things. There is a lot in the Bible that is perfectly clear and unquestionable by any stretch of the imagination for a believing Christian who has their mind, who can understand. There's plenty that is clear and questionable. How about we strive to do what God's Word says to do, the way God says to do it? And if we have questions, how about we let love cover a multitude of disagreements? How about we let mercy and good works flow for the sake of Christ? If you are waiting for some kind of a miracle, I would just say, look at the Word. He does miracles. He does one right in their presence. Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? They're trying to catch Him. He basically says, shame on you. Stretch out your hand. The question is not, can He do miracles? The question is your heart. Will you believe the testimony of the Lord? But let me also say, if you are looking for loopholes, if you are looking for ways to treat the Lord's day as just any other day, something's wrong. If you're looking for a way to have your way on the Lord's day, something's wrong. On the other side of that question, if you are a legalistic, grumpy Christian finding fault with everything that other Christians do on the Lord's day, something's wrong. I don't have a list. I didn't put a bulletin insert of do's and don'ts for the Lord's day. My mind starts to race with all the things that I've heard Christians argue about. You turned the TV on the Lord's day? I better stop or I'll just go right down that rabbit hole. Listen, verse 8 and 12. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we come before you in the name of Christ, recognizing that we too have maybe places in our own hearts that we have sometimes guarded and reserved. Father, may we have you be the Lord of our whole lives. May we delight in this day that the former saints called the market day of the soul, where we have an opportunity to hear the word and think about the word and read the word and spend time with our families if our jobs and callings have given us that opportunity. Father, may we rejoice that every week this day comes around. May we rejoice in it to the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus, who is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Hear us, Father, for his sake. Amen.